For the 23-24 season, Talking Wolves are proudly sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are showing every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, why not get together with your mates, go to a Green King Sport venue and get closer to the action.
Now this season, Green King Sport have launched a Green King Sport Instagram page. It's home of the fan content, loads of giveaways and competitions on there. They've actually got a Champions League final tickets giveaway on there at the minute. Hopefully they're doing it next season because you might see Gary O'Neill's Wolves side in that, the way things are going. But there's loads of other prizes on there, signed shirts and much more.
So to make sure you're first to know about all the action over on the Green King Sport page, go and drop them a follow on their Instagram. And obviously you'll be helping us out here at Talking Wolves as well.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. Happy New Year. Welcome in 2024. It's just one of the other team members with me today in Dave as a party. Jordan Finner off enjoying themselves as they are very well deserved. But unfortunately, Dave and I still have to slog away and crack on. But Dave, Happy New Year, mate. How are you keeping, Mush?
Yeah, you too. Thank you, mate. Yeah, all good. All good. Still away at the moment. But yeah, looking forward to 2024 and obviously a great way for Wolves to end 2023 as well.
Definitely. Look like you're about to go in the fire in the booth, mate, holding your microphone. Like
Charlie Sloth.
Perfect. So I take it you're still away with the family.
Yeah, still away at the minute. So I've got another couple of days here. So, obviously after the match, there's not been much to talk about other than obviously our podcast coming up now, but some nice rumours as well, which I'm sure we'll touch on at some point today. But yeah, so I'll probably do another video, but yeah, back to some sort of normality, I suppose, for everyone now over the next few days. So always goes too quick, the Christmas and New Year break. So yeah, looking forward to 2024 nonetheless.
Yeah, same, man. Hopefully it's a better year for you as well. I know you've had your troubles at the 2023, but I've back in the gym today, mate, for our first session of 2024, did leg day, then had a swim, then been for a walk. So I'm starting the year right. So I piled the weight on, man. I need to get some timber off. Are you not bored of being where you are yet, mate? Or do you want...
Nah, to be fair, I've been mixing up. So like I bought my PlayStation and stuff, but I've barely played it because the internet's just sort of up and down. So you can't play a good game of FIFA or nothing. But I've got a darts board here, so I've been playing a bit of darts. Been watching the darts, but now just trying to keep ourselves busy doing walks. And now we've got family murder mystery tonight, so that should be an interesting one. As long as we don't end up actually killing each other, it should be a good laugh.
Normally ends up that way, doesn't it, mate? Yeah. But I'm feeling positive, mate. Not just because it's a new year, but I feel like as Wolves fans, stark contrast to the year before. We've ended the year on a real high. Three wins on the bounce. I can't remember, Dave, the last time that Wolves did that in the league. It probably might have been under Bruno Lage. I said on the last podcast, it almost feels like that January period under Lage, which obviously isn't a good sign. But that probably would have been then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I did a very quick Google. And definitely under Nuno, we had a spell. But I think under Bruno Lage, we did as well. So it's been a couple of years at least. And the good thing is, obviously, you know, amongst those three wins is a win away from home, which, you know, we tended to really struggle with. But just the manner of the victories as well. It's like, it's not like we just squeezed past the last two games. You know, we fully deserved the wins. And the good thing is, you know, the fact that we scored 7 goals in the last two games is phenomenal. Bearing in mind, you know, at the start of the season, we were all concerned about where the firepower and where the goals was going to come from.
Definitely. And like, this is, and again, what just touching on what I've just said, this is the first time I can remember where, and I said this to my mate, who's a toffee, because I texted him after the game. I said, to be fair, like, we've got 3 or 4 players who are like banging form. And like, every time they touch the ball, something happens. Like, I can't remember the last time. And again, 3 games, it's, you know, let's not get carried away. But I can't remember the last time where we've had so many players, like, it's A, scoring so many goals, but B, just performing at like levels above.
Yeah, I think the creativity is brilliant at the moment. And the fact that you're able to bring Neto off the bench, who I thought came off the bench and it almost looked like he had never been away in terms of how sharp he was and how...
You have a point to prove to me. Look, I'm going to start next game. That's what it looked like to
he
me.
He has to. I think he's, in a way, I think, you know, he would break back into the team eventually anyway. But I think in a way, he's quite fortunate that Hwang is going to the Asia Cup. Otherwise, Neto could have been waiting a little while to actually break back into the side. But I think in terms of individual performances, it's interesting with Hwang. And I know obviously he's our top goal scorer. And, I thought he's been a really creative player and a fantastic player, fully deserves the contract. But I thought that was one of his best performances in a Wolves shirt on Saturday. I don't think I've seen Hwang play like that in a long, long time. And what I mean by that is, you know, although he was scoring the goals, there have been a few games this year, in my opinion, where he's almost been anonymous. Even when he scored goals, I didn't think he's had great performances. But I felt he gave absolutely everything. He could tell, even when we were, I think, 3-0 up, two or three goals up, he's punching the floor because he's frustrated that he's lost the ball. He was so unlucky, obviously, not to get another goal and another assist as well, which would have been, you know, capped off a fantastic afternoon for him. But I think in terms of overall performance, he was fantastic. And even Cunha, there was about 10 minutes where every single thing was going through him. And although... You know, he's never been a number nine. We've had that discussion now for 12 months. I think it's starting to show that Wolves don't necessarily need a number nine. If he can, you know, swap between Sarabia and Hwang or Neto, depending on who's playing, and you know, bring other players into the play, but still be at the right place at the right time, you don't necessarily need a traditional number nine. So Gary O'Neill, with the tools that he's got at the moment, he's creating something really, really good. Long way to go, obviously. Things could change very quickly in football, but with a decent transfer window behind him, and the form continuing, who knows, it could be a really decent season for the Wolves.
Yeah, and obviously we're talking about the Everton game, which happened on Saturday, the 3-0 win, which could have been 5-6 really. Everton were poor, but I think it shows more about Wolves that played well. But he frustrated me a little bit, Hwang, in the first half, because there was a couple of chances where he made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
I was just getting so frustrated, but I think he made up for that in the second half. But one thing I have noticed that he's doing more of, and especially over the last two or three games, is those runs in behind. Didn't seem to do much of that before, but now he feels like he's found his wheels again, and he's just stretching opponents. But they're not just runs to take players away; they're actually runs with, you know, some incisiveness.
Yeah, I think if you look at every chance that he had or every chance he created, there was something a little bit different about them. And I think he wasn't that... sometimes if you are, you know, some players do a thing consistently and quite quickly an opponent can catch on with what you're trying to do. But the one that you would have alluded to in the first half, which was frustrating, was when he rounded Pickford. And I think there was a range of things that he could have done. Either tried to get a shot away earlier, shot first time without rounding him, laying it off to Cunha. So I think he himself would have been frustrated with that. And I think Gary O'Neill would have, you know, mentioned that at halftime. But then you look in the second half, I think he had one which he hit with his right foot, which I think Pickford tapped onto the post. He had one then with his left foot, which Pickford was forced to make a decent save. And then I think there was the one when he actually scored, which was with his left foot, and obviously he was just offside. So, he swapped it up and he made it very difficult for the defenders to guess what he was going to do. So I think he's a player seriously high on confidence right now. With him and Son, who both scored so many goals, South Korea have got, I'd assume, without looking at the odds or anything, I'd assume they've got a good opportunity to do well in the Asia Cup, which obviously for him is great. For us in terms of availability, is a bit frustrating. But if we can get the same Hwang back, you know, for the second half of the season, on top of the players continuing their top performances, you know, it could be a really good, you know, a really good finish for him. What's he on now? 10, 11 Premier League goals? You know, he could surpass Raul's Premier League totals for a single season, which... If you told me that at the start of a campaign, I would have laughed at you. So really, really impressive. With, you know, I doubted him. I think obviously George made comments about him, and a lot of Wolves fans doubted him. But
I didn't.
Let the football do the talking. Well, that first season, I remember we did the sell loan keep, and we'd only just signed him. I said I would have been happy for him to move on. I'll admit that. But he's really, really kicked on. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been the last few games. I want to talk about Cunha, mate, because I know we scoffed at you last week when we said about would you rather have Jota or Cunha. I'm not saying that I've changed my mind. I haven't. But the last three or four games, he's now starting to look like a £50 million forward plus.
Yep.
He's made good defenders look ordinary. And to be honest, mate, he looks like he's played and he's found it just all too easy. He's been absolutely phenomenal.
I think when he's confident, again, this is a big thing, I think, the confidence, but when he's confident and things are going his way, he's a fantastic player. And that's why I said in that question, I could fully appreciate, Diogo Jota has proved it at Premier League level. He's playing at a top club. I can fully appreciate if you were offered that now, people would take it. But I just feel that Cunha is very important to Wolves. And I felt he has been all season, but now he's starting to show it a little bit more because he's getting himself on the goal sheet. What did he get? A goal and two assists. He contributed to every single goal at the weekend. Pretty much, the first goal, you may not give him the assist, but I think, the goal wouldn't have happened with his cross back into the area. And he offered a lot for the team, going through. And when he's on it, he's one of them. He was an exciting player to watch as well. The way he glides past players, the way he comes deep, the way he's quite aggressive to get the ball, his work rate. I mean, if you could tell he played for Atletico Madrid, I don't think Simeone would have signed him initially if he didn't work hard, that. He showed that work rate, but I agree with what you just said. £50 million at the time, it sounds like a lot of money, but I think the fact that not many people are mentioning his fee is a good thing for him. It shows that he's worth that money. So long may it continue. And I think, you add Sarabia into it, who I don't think many people or enough people are talking about in regards to what he's offered. And I was concerned going into the game against Everton because they do play, again, not negative football, but they do sit deep and they do like to try and, play quite direct and on the counter-attacks. And I felt if we can grab an early goal, which we sort of did around the 25-minute mark, it would have made life very difficult for Everton. And that's what it was. But I think they made it easy for us at times, but it's been perfect. Huang, Cunha and Sarabia, and it's taken a short while, but the last few weeks have been very, very good.
I think as well, they normally play a four, but they came with a five, which I thought was a bit strange. I feel
we're missing Decore, weren't they? So they sort of, I think they tried to add a bit more defensively with five at the back, and it was awful. And like going back to what you said about Huang as well, I think in regards to him, they're three good defenders. I don't think they're awful. They're back three. They'd slot into a few Premier League sides, but they're
Tarkowski, but they're
slow. That's what. So like, as soon as you go 1-0 up, Everton are going to have to start creeping forward. And if you get Huang on the shoulder, you're laughing. And even at times, I never thought Huang was rapid, but he started to show his turn of pace quite a lot over the weekend. And he deserved a goal. You could see how frustrated he was not to get one, but he's getting appreciated a lot more. And you could see that even after the games. I think the last three games, including the Brentford one now, he's had a massive queue of fans waiting for him outside.
Yeah, it's like when you're going to town, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, I wish. Women next week, hopefully. Yeah.
He's not for so. Sarabia, again, in the last few games, has really taken his opportunity. But he's much better, obviously, naturally, coming inside and finding those pockets. I mean, the pre-assist, I'm dubbing it, for the Cunha goal, that pass into Huang, not an easy pass, that has to be weighted perfectly. But if you watch, the reason he's able to do that, because it's very predictable what he wants to do. It's predominantly left foot, he wants to cut inside. The work that Semedo has to do to put in off the ball, to drag people out of position, is, again, he gets a lot of stick, Semedo. I don't really understand it. I think in the final 30s he could do better, but apart from that, if you watch his overall game, again, been great this season, bar the odd game, but his work rate and willingness to get up and down allows Sarabia to play. And when you allow Sarabia to play, mate, he'll find someone.
I think that sort of, it's taken that time to adjust for Sarabia, because last year when he came in, he had one or two decent games. I think the draw away at Fulham, he played really well. He got that goal. He played alongside Jimenez, I think, that game. There were certain games where it's just almost like, good player, good fee, but he's obviously not used to this league and not used to the physicality. And he may still not be used to the physicality, but Gary O'Neill can spot what he's good at and make sure, try and find a way for him to slot into this team, for him to work. And I think you're right. I think somebody else mentioned it on social media in terms of Semedo does get a lot of stick. But there was one instance in the first half where he had a chance and he just made no effort to get back. And that frustrated me a little bit with Semedo. But he sacrificed a lot more. it's tricky in his role because he will lose the ball and we may get countered off it. And you do rely on the work rate of others like João Gomes or Tommy Doyle in the case on Saturday to get across and help. But when you do, like you said, he drags defenders across and that creates those pockets of space for Sarabia. And if you give him with 5 or 10 yards, he'll pick a pass. We did see that at times last season and we're starting to see it more. I think in all competitions, he's got more assists than Neto now as well. So in terms of that creativity, he's definitely added something. I think the first few weeks we had Neto have been tough, but slowly started to find our feet a little bit. And like I said, the fact that we scored 7 goals in 2 games, I don't even think we scored 7 Premier League goals before the halfway point last season. So, really, really impressive. And now I think we're 1 goal behind the entire goal count that we had throughout the whole of last season. So we're getting there much, much better going forward. And that's a big bonus for us. And good news that we got the clean sheet as well on Saturday.
Yeah, Smedo was playing almost like a centre midfield as well in a lot of the games in build-up, which he hasn't done a lot of, or at least I haven't perceived it that way. But obviously, Mario Lemina missing from the squad, mate. It's extremely sad news in his father's passing. He can't be very old, can he? How old's Lemina? Like 30, 31? So it's obviously a really sad time for Lemina. He travelled to France the afternoon of the previous day. Firstly, let's touch on that day. I think the tribute from the fans and the players just shows how much Wolves fans appreciate and think of Lemina. It's probably been my signing of the new era, if that makes sense. But I think it just epitomises how much Wolves fans think of him.
Yeah, definitely. And I mentioned last week, and I still stand by it, I think he's been our player of the season so far. It's the first time. I think that obviously that gave us a bit of an edge. I think the atmosphere was up for it on Saturday. And it shouldn't, obviously it shouldn't need things like that to happen, but it really brought the Wolves fans a lot closer to the players, I think. I think it started from the kickoff, then on minute 5, especially all throughout, there's an applause and that chanting. And after every goal as well, I think Lemina, I'd assume he was in France watching that, would have been sobbing, in a good way. On the flip side of that, the fact that we can, I was very worried without Lemina because he was my man of the match for the Chelsea game and the Brentford game. And I was concerned in terms of personnel going into that match. But I think it showed that, we can hold our own sometimes without our key players. We've shown that at times without Neto, we could show that without Lemina, which is a good sign from a team's point of view. But, like Gary O'Neill said, very, very difficult thing to deal with, when you lose a family member, especially when it's your father. And I know I've had a few people message me over the last week or so about, losing loved ones this year. And obviously, we've both sort of had that over the last couple of years. And it's difficult. We all deal with it in different ways. So, Lemina can have as much time as he wants. That's what Gary O'Neill said. And I fully agree with that. But, give him a fantastic player and a great reception by the fans on Saturday.
I think selfishly, and probably a lot of Wolves fans saw that news and thought, oh, bloody hell, that's like, it's obviously awful for him, but we are going to miss him. I think we'll struggle against Everton because they're a physical side and he is really the glue that keeps us together. But I think it's testament to Tommy Doyle, mate, that he came in and performed well and above beyond what I thought he could have showed. I thought he was excellent. And he gave us, his off-the-ball stuff was great. He was tenacious, but he gave us almost like a little bit of another option for me in his just ability to spray a ball out and stretch the play and buy a bit of time. I thought he played excellently.
Yeah, and I think Lemina can ping a ball and so can João Gomes at times, but I think Tommy Doyle added that touch of, he'll probably mention pretty much every pod, that touch of Neves to that midfield. Yeah. At times, he's a little bit too congested in a certain area of the pitch. He looks up and he can find Semedo about 40, 50 yards away. And it just, changes where the game's going. And I think that helped us a lot, helped stretch Everton a lot more, which we needed at times. But yeah, he was great. And the good thing is with Doyle obviously coming in and Santi Bueno coming in at the Brentford game, both of them slotted into their positions as if they've played there all season, to be honest. And again, that is a good sign for Wolves. There will be times where you get suspensions or injuries and we have to change things about. But if you can get players to slot straight back into the team and it doesn't really, you don't need that time for them to adjust, then brilliant. I think the only instance of that this year, really, obviously Sarabia took a little while to get into things. I think Hugo Bueno had struggled a little bit when Aitor was absent. But we've got quality on the bench. And I think in terms of overall depth, we're in a very, very good place right now. Obviously, it will be an interesting test when we lose a few players to the Asia Cup and Africa Cup of Nations. But we're in a good place depth-wise. And you would assume Wolves will try and add one or two more first-teamers as well.
Yeah, I think they have to, really. We have seen quite a big impact off the bench this season, as you just touched on there. The squad depth is finally starting to look like we can impact games, not from the 11, but the whole squad. Before we wrap up the Everton game, mate, special mention João Gomes again. Excellent. I thought the Chelsea game was Jekyll and Hyde for him. I think everyone else was saying, what a performance. I thought he was poor in the first half. I thought he was excellent in the second half. Then the Brentford game and this game, wow. He was absolutely everywhere. But not only that, he was calculated in what he did. It wasn't just on flying into tackles. He was superb.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he had that chance. Unfortunately, the finish wasn't fantastic. He hit it straight at Pickford, but the actual... I think there have been quite a few clips going over social media this weekend of the move leading up to it. I think he can, you know, if he can start to find those pockets of space and get involved in those sort of moves, you know, we will add one or two more goals to his game. But so good. And I think we've had to wait a little while for him to have that level of performance. He's been a little bit inconsistent, but he's making it, well, him and Lamina are making it very, very difficult for anyone to get a look in at the moment. You know, Boubacar, I know he's been ill and had small injuries, even Doyle. They've struggled to get a start in place. But I'm happy with that because João Gomes, we made such a big effort to get him in this time last year. And I'm happy, you know, he's starting to settle down now, obviously. He's starting to speak the language a little bit more. I saw a funny tweet. His partner's expecting a baby now, and it was like prime run at R9. It's like João Gomes ever since he got his partner pregnant. So a really good player, and obviously he loves the fans. We saw that from last January when he wanted to sign for the club. But I'm happy, and that as long term, maybe, you know, quite, you know, looking at you obviously don't want to sell your best players, but long term, in terms, you know, I mentioned it last week. Who do I see playing for a big club? And it's him, because I think, although he's not going to get you loads of goals and assists, I think in terms of the dirty work, fantastic. And the amount of tackles and the interceptions that he's got to his name is brilliant.
I think he's got Arsenal written all over him, to be honest.
I could see him at City, Liverpool, Arsenal, maybe even United, someone like that. But
I think Liverpool or Arsenal. I know Arsenal really like Douglas Luiz, don't they? And a similar mould. But the tweet was ever since he got his bird pregnant, wasn't it? And I don't know, like someone's obviously told him what a bird is. Because like, that's all good colloquialism, isn't it? It's not something you'd probably say in Portuguese, mate.
The word missus, then the foreigners. Yeah, what's that, missus? They love using that phrase as well.
Yeah. But he even tagged her in it, didn't he, saying this is true?
Yeah. How many thirsty blokes she got trying to follow her? She's on private, I think. Yeah, I didn't look, obviously.
Yeah. I don't blame her. I noticed that I watched the Southampton goal back, you know, the one he scored at St Mary's last season.
Yeah.
And like the colours, like it's from then to now, like he's like practically white.
Pale now. Oh, is he?
Yeah, pale. Needs to get on some 9-minute holidays, mate, and get that glow back in him. But, fantastic performance of the season for you so far, mate.
Overall team performance, yeah, for sure. I think it was enjoyable. I mentioned on Twitter, because obviously I've driven from here, it's only like an hour and a half way to Molineux and back, and like if I had driven back to Molineux and drawn or lost that game, I would have been so frustrated. But the fact that I could drive back with almost pretty much a smile on my face, because in terms of level of performance, it was great. Such an enjoyable watch as well. We just had full control over that game. Like I mentioned, second half, a lot of managers would have put the handbrake on. I think Large definitely would have, Nuno, probably even Lopetegui, just almost to see out that 1-0 win. But Gary O'Neill, the first 15, 20 minutes of that second half, it was as if we were 1-0 down, the way we were trying to attack and get another goal. It was enjoyable to watch. And yeah, for sure, performance of the season for me. Everton at times made it easy for us. I thought their distribution from the back was really poor, but we took full advantage and fully deserved 3 points. Probably the most convincing win you'll see all season.
Yeah, I thought Everton were crap for what it's worth. Moving on, Dave. FA Cup, third round. Brentford away. Haven't played them in a while, especially at, say, Griffin Park. Then it's not Griffin Park anymore, is it?
Legoland.
Yeah. Windsor Park. rotation for this day? Surely the likes of Kalidzic had to get some minutes.
I wouldn't, man. I don't know. Obviously, players will want minutes, but I would still go whoever's available, your strongest squad, because you've got a break after this anyway.
Depends if you get through, doesn't it? Because I'm sure the next round.
Yeah. So, if you get through, I think you still got a little break. So it's not like you play the following week. So you're going to have at least 2 weeks' break anyway. I think Bentley will probably start. You might see a little bit of rotation, but to be fair, I think even our second string side's quite decent. I think you'll see very roughly Bentley start. I think Doc will probably start. Bueno, obviously. I think Santi Bueno as well.
Okay, now, not much rotation here, mate. You're right.
But then I think in the rest of the team, I think the front three, I would still play as the existing front three, maybe even Neto coming in for Hwang. The only other way you do it is Cunha going on to the left and Sasha through the middle with Sarabia. And then maybe you'll start Doyle with Gomez again. But you'll see still Kilman and Dawson will start, I would assume, or at least Kilman and Totti will start. Mm. So I think there'll be two or three changes, but not major. I wouldn't start Kalidzic personally. If Neto's fresh enough to start the game, I would start Neto, Sarabia, Cunha.
Yeah, I mentioned there Dan Bentley coming into the squad. I thought maybe Tom King could have had a go, but obviously he's been called up to the Ghana national team. So he won't be there. But I swear he was on a... You know what Marky Burrows was? The Wolves TV, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I swear he was on there at the weekend, just like...
commentating.
Like giving like punditry, I think. Go on, Tonga, make yourself useful, son.
Possibly, yeah. Part of the way, you know, part of his contract. I don't know. I don't listen to it, to be fair, so...
He's just there for vibes, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was only on a one-year deal, wasn't he? So he'll be gone soon.
Class for him, though. Well, he's not playing, but...
See, I always said that. Some people get really frustrated and they just sat on the bench. But I don't know. It depends where his career goes from here.
Club, right?
Yeah. It was Tony Roberts' favour anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
big Tony. Now, I think he'll rotate. I think it'll be telling, though, as to where... Well, I think we all know anyway where Kalidzic is in O'Neill's plans. But I think if he doesn't start or doesn't get many minutes, then what is the point? What is the point in keeping him?
I think, I'd assume Ivan Toney's available, isn't he, for this? Is this his first game back? So, Brentford are going to be up for this. And that's why I would be tempted still to go with quite a strong team. Obviously, they've still got a lot of injury issues, as they had when we played them last time. But they've still got some good players.
Stone at the minute as well, though.
I think they've lost their last five. So, they are under a lot of pressure. But I think with Toney back, they'll have that little bit of a boost. I think that... What's his name? Lewis Potter, is it? Keane Potter. Is his name Lewis Keane Potter?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I always get him mixed up. Harry Potter. He's good. He's a really tricky player and he causes all sorts of problems.
So, well, let me guess. Good in spell.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of any more. I can't. But yeah, it could have been a different result last week, to be fair. So they're an okay side still. So we do have to be cautious. And just with Kalidzic, I think the whole game or our whole quality of game dips and changes. Yeah. I think if you're serious about the Cup this year, I'd just try and go as strong as you can.
Do you think he is serious about the Cup?
I think we're in a good enough position in the league at the moment that you can be. You get through. We look at Nuno, obviously. I mean, that was just a phenomenal first season with Nuno because we carried them both on. And I think us exiting the cup almost gave us that boost at the end of the season as well. Yeah. But I don't think the board will be that bothered about it. I think the board are just going to be staying the Premier League, which I think they've almost done enough anyway to do so. So I would be. I don't think you've got anything to lose, especially with how the fixtures have fallen and that you're going to get a decent little break as of now. So I think you get one or two players in. When your players return in February, you're going to have a really good squad, hopefully.
We always think it's difficult when these situations present themselves, though, where you draw a team in the cup and you played them recently.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, have you shown too much leg in the game before? Like, do they know what you're going to do? It's a difficult one, isn't it, in terms of approach? Do you go? I mean, we comfortably beat them, but Collins chucked two in for us.
Yeah. No, and I think they had chances, you know, even at 2-1, they should have made it 2-2 and they had won it. I thought we defended really well second half, but they still had chances. So against any Premier League team, especially away from home, whether it's in the cup or not, is a difficult football match. But I think if you put out enough quality, you know, we've got the momentum at the moment. Obviously, we are going to be losing a couple of players, but we've got the momentum. If we can win this game, and who knows, you get like a League Two, League One side in the next round, or even Championship side, and no disrespect to them, you'd hope that you get through to round five, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple of big Premier League teams knocked out. You've got every opportunity of going all the way.
Mm.
Although I couldn't cope with another semi-final at Wembley if we were going to lose again.
Still not over it, mate.
Yeah,
still not over it. Brentford, as you say, Dave, oh gosh, I lost again at the weekend. But if Gary O'Neill does make it four wins out of four, will you be having a Thomas Frank?
No, I'm having a Thomas Frank at the moment anyway. Not safe for
work. Three wins on the bounce, was that to Wolves fans, mate?
Yeah. Thomas Frank, yeah. I still need to, I've had it bookmarked ever since they did it. You remember he was tapping his watch against us?
Yeah, I've got it as well.
Anyway, yeah. I have to use that eventually. I'd maybe use it on that. But it's a weird one, isn't it? It's been moved. It's Friday night, but moved for TV abroad. So it's not actually on English TV. So Dodgy Stick FC, I think. Nah, it's not on the UK TV now.
Yeah, fair play to anyone who's done both fixtures.
Yeah.
That's some serious going.
I think they're both sold out, though. Quite comfortable.
Have they?
I think the cup game went to members. But it will sell out. Now we're on a decent run. It will go.
Yeah, definitely. Questions, Tom, about there will be no career path games. Sorry, Dave, I can't give you any points.
We're still waiting for George. Well, twofold. We're still waiting for George Dance. He's not spoke to us much since the one.
Very, very quiet. He's been
also, our TikTok page has been banned, so I need to try and get it back.
Why?
I think it's copyrighted, unfortunately. So,
what are the goals?
Yeah. So I just someone messaged me. Oh, I was really wanted to see your predicted lineup. I was like, fucking hell, you're a bit sadder. But I'm joking.
You're not so sadder. Thank you for support.
I went back on it, and he goes, it says your TikTok page is banned. So I went to try and look for it, and it just logged us out. And it goes, I tried to log back in, and it just made a new Talking Walls 8. It was cool. I was like, nah. So I haven't actually had a look into it. I'll try and see what's going on there. But I'd assume it's copyrighted.
Yeah, if anyone can provide any help with that, that'd be great.
But yeah, that first new TikTok could be George Dance.
We were at 5,000 followers. We'll easily get back up to that if George does the dance. He's got a tight one for the team. He has been very quiet. He dropped us a happy new
year. Is his drunk message? You are all really safe. What was that? Did you see that?
I don't think that was a drunk message. I think that's just him.
You are all really safe.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I think like you're
concerned about my safety.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll do it personally. Which is poor, really.
It is poor. Mate, I would have done it by now.
Yeah. No. He's not even comfort. Perhaps we need to go with him and say, look, this is what you need to do. Because if he doesn't have TikTok, does he? So he probably doesn't know, like, how to...
I can't remember the dance at one, but I think it's quite straightforward. A couple of that practice attempts.
It's the fireball one, isn't it?
How does it go? I know the song, but I don't know the dance.
I'm not doing it, mate.
I actually don't even know. I would do it otherwise, but...
Yeah. But yeah, George, I'm sure I think he does listen back to the podcast. So if
you're practicing, George.
Yeah, if you are listening, George, make sure you do it. If you do follow George on any social media, make sure you tweet him or send him an Instagram DM saying where's a TikTok.
Do the dance.
Do the dance. There's nothing better than a bit of a
the dance.
Do the dance. A bit of peer pressure. Question times. Dave, you sent me a question earlier over the phone, didn't you? One second, let me just grab that for you. Who do you know who sent it in?
He was Braden, his name. Braden Gallagher, I believe. No relation to Frank.
That's good. Oh, Dermot. Would you recall Gedge from loan if he was willing to give the Gary O'Neill project a go? Gary O'Neill is a guy to put his arm around you when I feel previous managers could be cold, such as Large and Lopetegui. For me, no, absolutely not. He doesn't want to play in England. He definitely doesn't want to play in Wolverhampton. So
it's a very difficult situation because I think clearly he's a good footballer, or was a good footballer, but he's struggling for minutes even at Benfica, not really struggling. Mm. So Wolves could recall him, but then you risk, of course, there's pros and cons. I think the pro is that you could potentially bring in another, you know, good attacker that you've spent a lot of money on. But the cons are that you're going to bring back a player that could disrupt harmony, doesn't really want to be there. And obviously he's really lacking match sharpness. But his value as well, he's not in a good place at the moment. So Wolves really, it's an interesting January. So Wolves, I think, need to have a conversation with Benfica and figure out what's going on. Because they need to play him so we can retain his value, or Wolves are going to have to terminate it or recall him and see what happens. But
Imagine terminating that. Oh, my word.
I'm not in a... I don't think Wolves are in a... We're not in a universe where Wolves keep him, I don't think. I think if he comes back, it's to go back out on loan again.
Do you think he's... In the post near, pound for pound, the worst signing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. As it stands,
not Fabio.
In terms of value, no, because Fabio's.
Oh, here we go. Drinking from the Kool-Aid again. He just can't have a bad word said about him, can he?
The thing is, but look, Fabio has tried. He's tried.
I'm sold.
Listen. He's worked hard. And when he's gone out on loan, he's given us another chance to, you know, to come back and do what he, you know, well, try and, you know, score some goals. And then, but he's gone out on loan again with Fabio. You could still sell him and make a decent bit of money as it stands with Gedge. I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just winding you up, but
yeah, chief,
I know.
We haven't spoken about that move actually, by the way, have we? So it happened just after the last podcast, I think.
Yeah, we'll speak about it in a bit after we'll speak about the rumours.
Cool.
And all the transfer dealings. But no, not for me. I think that Wolves have done a good job of weeding out any dickheads out in the squad, and mostly Daniel Pedence. And yeah, I just don't think it'd be conducive to what the environment that Gary O'Neill's trying to create. So for me, no. Which leads us on to Amar's Music Show's weekly question. He said, how much do you think we'd be able to generate by selling Pedence and Gedge in the January or the summer? We may as well get what we can for them at this stage and to help strengthen the squad. Well, Pedence has only got 6 months left on his contract because he signed an extension, didn't he? A year and a half, sorry.
Yeah, but they've got an option to buy.
Olympiacos.
I think it's quite small. I think it's only like 6 to 8 million, I think. It's not a good amount of money. And I don't know, I could see a world where they purchase him and I obviously keep him, or he goes to Forest, because obviously Nuno's there now as well at Forest, and I've already seen them linked to some Portuguese sides. So I don't know. And Gedge, I don't know. I think, like I said earlier, he's not playing matches. I think he struggled to get 15, 20 million back for him, to be honest.
To be fair to Pedence, I'm just looking at his numbers this season. He started 8 games. So 11 appearances, 3 off the bench. He scored 5 in the Super League. So they might want to keep him.
Yeah, I can't remember. Let me see if I can find out how much
the buy option is.
Yeah, I can't remember. By the way, if you can hear a bit of background noise, the washing machine shakes the whole lodge here for somehow. Daniel Pedence, Talking Wolves. Let's have a look.
Chatting amongst ourselves. Again, the door's not open for Pedence.
I know, no option to buy it. I thought there was.
No, I didn't think there was.
Maybe not then.
How much? I mean, if you were to sell Gedges in the summer, he's probably still got quite a lot of, 2-3 years left on his deal. How much do you reckon Wolves could get for him? He'd have to get to Saudi or somewhere, wouldn't they? Because who's going to buy him? Because he's on good money as well.
You make a huge loss. I think it's 15 at the moment, as of today, 15 million tops, I think.
Oh, I don't even think even that. I reckon 10 tops. And I think probably they'll probably just come to an agreement with Pedence and fuck him off.
Oh, sorry. You're on about Pedence?
Sorry, I was on about Gedge firstly and then with
Pedence. Oh, Pedence, I think 10 tops. Gedge, I think 15 at the moment.
I don't think you'll get that much for him. It's awful business with Gedge. Well, I know we, as fans, or the majority of fans, we clamber for, you know, these days you've got to spend 30, 40 million on a player for him to improve the 11. But when we have done, and you can include Cunha in that as well. I know he's come good the last few months, but when we spent big like that, they've turned out to be absolute stinkers. I mean, Nunez, I think we got, obviously we paid a lot of money for him. I'd loved him before he came to Wolves. He came to Wolves, was underwhelming, and thankfully we got we kind of cashed out.
Yeah.
In time. But those big signings, Dave, have not been very astute business from Wolves, have they?
No, and I think the club have realised that now. And I think under a new sort of regime, under Matt Hobbs, you're going to see more intelligent signings, I think. I think, obviously, the players that we're going to talk about shortly, I think the players that we've seen so far, your Sarabias, your Laminas, obviously the Cunha one is massive. And I think you're still going to need some marquee signings to grow as a football team. But if you can have for every, you know, four out of your five next signings, very clever business between sort of 10 to 15 million, then fair enough. And I think you're a lot more stable because you could have a flop, but if you've only paid £10 million for him, you sort of cut your losses, fair enough. But when you pay 35 to 40 million, that's when it's a big risk. So I think we'll see clever business, and that's obviously what we're going to talk about later on as well with what we've seen so far today.
Trash Wax Records has asked if you could strengthen three areas on the pitch, where would they be? I think for me, it has to be I'd probably say a winger, a striker, and a central midfielder.
Centre mid, though. I understand what you. I still feel, obviously we played well the last three games, but I understand what you mean. In regards to that, I think striker and winger as well. Could you argue being ultra harsh on Sarr, a goalkeeper as well? I don't think it would happen. I don't think it will happen in January.
Yeah.
But maybe a striker, or maybe even another
fullback.
Yeah. I think we're pretty well stocked in a lot of areas at the moment. It would take players to leave, and I think Fabio's gone. Sasha will probably go. So number nine, there's a space for that. So yeah. I think Hodge will go out on loan. So that probably opens up a space for a central midfielder as well.
I think a strike. And when we say a winger, I mean just someone who, a ball carrier for me. Yeah, someone who's very good in one-on-one situations. Because
yeah.
I feel like once our starting wingers, so Neto and Wang, not counting Sarabia in that because he doesn't operate at that. Once you take them out of the equation, off the bench, Bellegarde's okay, but I think you need someone who's like shit off a shovel and can just come on with 20 minutes to go and still be a threat on the counter. Because
Dharma-esque.
Yeah, and it goes back to Sulemari, isn't it? Southampton, like that kind of mould, just someone you can bring on and who's going to cause havoc for 20, 30. Would need, you know, the opposition to not step up as much because of the threat of him behind. Because when you bring Sasha on, they squeeze up, don't they? And it kind of nullifies us. But that would be our three areas to strengthen. Connor said, after three impressive back-to-back performances from the lads, can we dare to dream for Europe? This is why I love football fans. And I said it on the last pod. People were calling for his head the week before. Now we're daring to dream of Europe. For me, not just yet, Connor.
I think this season, I don't think it will happen just based on the quality of teams above us and even the teams that have had slow starts, you would expect them to improve. I think Chelsea will have a much better second half of the season. But saying that, I think we're only 1 point behind the points tally that Nuno had when we got into Europe under him that first year. So we're not a million miles away from it, but I think the quality of the league, sort of the contrast from the top teams to the bottom teams is huge. So I think towards the top, there'll be a much bigger points gap. It would require us to have a very, very good... We'd need to replicate and even better our first half of the season, which is definitely doable. I think if you look at our home form, of course, we've beaten City and Spurs and so on, and then we have to play them away. So they're tough games. But then on the flip side of that, you've got Luton coming to Molineux. You've got Crystal Palace, Fulham, Sheffield United. They're all coming to Molineux for the second half of the season. So we could easily, you know, pick up wins against them. So, and hopefully VAR decisions go our way. There's every chance. I think we're definitely safe. I know you and Joe mentioned maybe at the time, you know, on the last podcast, that you're worried that we may still get dragged back into it. But I think we're far too good for that, and we're showing that. Never say never, but I think it's a big, big ask for Wolves to, you know, to push on second half of the season, especially with some of these players missing for the next month or so.
Colin has asked, do you think Ernie will be using Jimenez if he was still at Wolves, either starting or off the bench? He seems to have found a little bit of form, hasn't he, recently, which is obviously great for him. I'd rather him not, because it means he's strengthening a Premier League rival. But I think the decision, Dave, and you may or may not agree with this, is not whether Wolves would still use him, but getting someone who's, over the last couple of years since that injury, has flattered to deceive, but also was on astronomical wages. The decision was made just to get him off the books. So that's probably more of a financial decision than a footballing decision.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously he's starting to find a little bit of form. He scored one of the goals in their win yesterday against Arsenal. So yeah, he's finding his form, which is great for Raul. Obviously a very good servant for most of his time at Wolves. But I think it was probably the right time for him to leave the club. I think in terms of if he was still here, I don't think he would be a guaranteed starter, but I think he'd be a very decent option off the bench. Mm. I think he would offer, no disrespect to Sasha and Fabio, I think he would have offered more than those pair. But, you know, I think it was the right time when he did for him to move on. And, yeah, just good that he's finding his form at another club.
Yeah, definitely. But you can't really afford to have someone sat on.
No, I agree.
On the bench, can you?
So, yeah, I agree.
Especially Inter Abbey has been that player recently. You can't have two of them. Martin Brown's asked, should we start looking at replacements for Dawson now? I think they see it in Santiago Bueno, to be honest. But
Santi Bueno, or even one player that we never mentioned against Brentford, Mosquera. Yeah, but he was there on Saturday. He was at the back of the picture. When they had the team picture with the Lamina shirt, he was there. So he might be in the squad. And I think Gary O'Neill's going to have a look at him. Did very well in the MLS for the last year or so, Mosquera. And I think it was reported that a lot of Championship sides were interested in him. So if he, you know, he may or may not play in the FA Cup, but if he doesn't, a big Championship loan this month for him, really see where he's at physically and how he can adapt to the English game. And then next year could be a big one for him.
If you're wondering, I don't know if you can hear that in the background. Can you hear that?
No.
It's just like a job of fireworks or gunshot. I can't see any fireworks, but I do live in Birmingham, so it could be either or. Martin also asked a question, a double header. What chances of keeping Neto and Cunha in the summer? I think more chance of keeping Cunha, purely because of how much money they paid for him, and he seems very happy in Wolverhampton, and he's only really turned it on the last couple of months. I think Neto is the one that's probably more likely out of that. If he performs how he did before the injury for the rest of the season, he's already gone.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Neto is fitness. If he stays injury free and, like you said, can perform or even replicate the numbers that he was getting, you know, he'd be, you know, on phenomenal numbers. So yeah, he'll be gone. I think you could command again a record breaking transfer fee for him in terms of money received. Cunha, I think the flip side, I think they're all happy here, as mad as it sounds. Mm. Also, I think they would have all seen the reaction Nunes got, so I don't think they'd want to tread on that line, or at least act like that again. So look, all of these players' aspirations will be to play for bigger and better football teams. There's no doubts about that. But I think Wolves still just need to continue. If they can grow up the table, they all knew what the objective was at the start of the year. But if we can get a top half finish, I think it's good enough for them to say, hold on, you know, we can achieve something here, or even a decent little cup run like we mentioned earlier. But as far as I'm aware, they're all pretty happy in Wolverhampton. And I know that might sound mad to some people, but they do enjoy it here. So who knows? Might both be here, but I think out of the two, Neto's the most likely, yeah.
Cool. Do you want to talk about transfers, mate? You want to start with Fabio, man, moving to Glasgow Rangers? It feels like a bit of a weird move, to be honest. Like, not weird as in, like, you know, he shouldn't have gone there, but like a bit of a surreal move that he's going to play for Rangers. I don't know, it just feels quite peculiar.
No, I understand what you mean. It's quite a rare move, isn't it? I mean, in terms of a player, well, from a Premier League team going over there, and a foreign player as well. You would have expected after the couple of loan moves that he had last year that he would probably go out on loan again. I think teams in Spain and in particular Germany were interested in him. But yeah, I mentioned it on the video last week. I actually think it's a good move for all parties. Wolves are loaning him to a team where, okay, the reputation of the league's not great, but in terms of Rangers, who are a top team, going to create loads of chances, win a lot of football matches, and Fabio should be amongst the goals, you would hope. So that's a chance for him to, you know, increase his value. For Fabio, he's going to get the chances. Hopefully his confidence is up and to score goals. And Rangers, obviously, they're still in the league, still within the title race. They're still in the Europa League, which is going to be huge for Fabio because he did quite well in Europe with both Anderlecht and PSV. So, yeah, I think it's a good move. Really interesting move for him. I think the director of football or technical director at Rangers is the guy that was at PSV last year. So Fabio obviously made an impression. But yeah, I like the move for him. I'd be surprised if we ever see him in a Wolves shirt again. I think this move is genuinely just to increase his value. So for Wolves' sake, they're obviously hoping this goes well. He scores a few goals and can get a few bob for him in the summer.
How much did your Rangers silver 7 shirt cost you, mate?
Mate, that would look good, to be fair. But Castor as well, mate. You know, I'd be all over that.
Castor derby.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I'll have to maybe go and take a trip up and buy one. And that's not just for the football.
Other news, mate. Are you dubbing this an exclusive originally? Fletcher Holman.
Okay, we can do if you want. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you discuss this, mate, because you know the background.
Yeah, Fletcher Holman. Wolves are set to sign him from Eastbourne Borough. 19-year-old striker. He was on trial at Wolves. 21s, middle of the month. He looks a good player, pretty well built.
He looks a sunbed, bloody hell. He's in Angrondi.
The one thing I've always had with the 21s, especially over the last few years, is that they've lacked, up until Nathan Fraser, to be fair, they've lacked a proper number nine. And it's funny, obviously, we had the discussion about Cunha and stuff not being a proper number nine, but Wolves have really lacked one because they've played players like Lee Hark in there, who's about 4'2". Owen Farmer is a little lad as well. So to have him come in, it's going to be a big boost. And it was confirmed by Eastbourne today that they've got an agreement just pending medicals. And I honestly like this signing. I don't understand where the negativity can come from because it's going to be a nominal fee. It's not going to be expensive for Wolves. And Matt Hobbs, you know, he's looking at these different markets and he was the one that really, really pushed for the Max Kilman signing. And that's gone really well. I think it's a little bit more difficult for a striker because obviously the main thing you're going to be judged on is goals. So he does need to try and hit the ground running and we may well see him go out on loan over the next couple of years. But if he can get a run in the team, the under-21s for the last 6 months, I'll be really intrigued to see how he does. But I don't understand if there is any negativity towards this because it's the first day of January. It's not like we're signing him. We haven't signed anyone and we're signing him on deadline day. So I think he'll kick on. It could be a really good signing for Wolves long term.
Yeah, he's allows Nathan Fraser to go out as well, doesn't he?
For sure, yeah.
Who looks like he could be close to joining Shrewsbury on loan, Dave. I know earlier it was reported it was as good as done, but it doesn't seem to be that close yet, does it?
Yeah, I think he had trials or at least trained with Shrewsbury and Cheltenham as well, I think. So I think League One's a good level for Fraser. I know people were getting a bit overexcited saying maybe Championship, but if you look at where sort of Chem Campbell is and stuff playing in League One, so I think League One's a really good level for Nathan Fraser. Shrewsbury's not a million miles away as well. So, yeah, we'll wait and see, but he needs a loan move. He's bulking out. He's getting a lot bigger and stronger as a footballer. And we saw in the cup earlier this year, he's definitely capable. So if he can get in amongst men's football and, you know, get some minutes and hopefully some goals, he could really kick on.
Mm-hmm. Probably the most exciting one transfer window's only been open one day, but it looks like Wolves could be about to make their first signing for the first team, Dave, but it doesn't look like he'll be having any involvement this season. Looks like Rodrigo Gomez, who's been playing predominantly as a right wing back, Estoril on loan from Braga, looks like he could be joining in the summer for around 12 million euros, 4 goals, 6 assists this season from right back. And looking at the comments from the continent about this move, it looks like he's both highly rated and Wolves have got him at a sniff of a price.
Yeah, like I said, I've not seen huge amounts of him. I don't tend to watch huge amounts of Portuguese football, but from what I've heard and what I've seen, he looks like a really highly rated player and it looks like Wolves are getting him at a really good price on Braga. I think the flexibility of him playing both right wing and right wing back is great for Wolves, especially if they're going to stick with this five at the back. His numbers this year for Estoril have been great. So 12 million euros. To come in at the summer, great. I can't remember, did we put Doc on a one? I think Doc was on a 2-year contract, to be fair.
3-year deal, mate.
Was it? Oh, my word. but I think, you know, good. And it's interesting because obviously it shows that Wolves haven't completely ruled out the Portuguese market. You would assume that Jorge Mendes has probably had a say in this deal. But I think it's important for Wolves to, you know, like I said earlier, look in that region of 10 to 15 million pounds, young player. You know, and hopefully he continues this run of form, because he could go into, you know, the end of the season, double figures for assists, a few goals to his name, and be in a really good place going into to next year. And obviously, if it's legit, you know, he'll join up with the squad, what, 1st of July, and you've got him for the full pre-season then, which I think is crucial at times.
Mm. And I think we do have to have a conversation around Semedo, because he signed that two-year extension, wasn't it? So yeah. In the summer, he'll have 1 year left on his deal. He's on big money. Could he be the natural successor to Semedo's position? Because how old was Semedo been in the summer? He's got pushing on 30, isn't he? 30, 31.
And there was reports that there was big interest in him. I think Man United obviously were linked, weren't they, in the summer? So
and I think he's had more than a good enough season for them to still be interested. I mean, United spend money on shit anyway, but I think he had more than a good enough season. I mean, he's 30 now, so by he'll still be 30 in the summer. But he's got a perhaps, you know, he's on big money. Perhaps Wolves are thinking of that too. And a season with both him and Gomez in the same team could be, you know, a natural kind of passing. That sounds awful. And that's just succession of Semedo.
You probably still want to try and get some money for Semedo. You wouldn't want him just to run his contract down, would you? So,
do you think he's on a new deal, though?
Possibly not. Or if he does, it'll only be a short-term one. But he could be sold in the summer.
Hmm.
Although I know what you mean. You probably want him to, you know, being amongst it for a year with Semedo rather than just throwing him.
He's only 20. He's Rodrigo Gomez.
Yeah, it's a big jump as well sometimes. So I know the Portuguese league is producing great players, but from there to straight to into the Premier League, especially without playing for a big Portuguese team, it's sometimes quite a big jump.
Estoril are doing really well as well this year, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a good team. They're producing good players. Obviously, we signed Chiquinho from there. He's not really kicked on as of yet. I think he's doing all right with Family Cow. But yeah, I'll be interested. I think it's interesting that we've not completely closed that sort of type of transfer off anyway.
Yeah, I think we said on previous podcasts that you've heard that Wolves have got a couple of signings lined up close to the window opening. So this could be one of them. But it's been reported by, is it Bruno Andrade, who seems to be fairly reputable when it comes to especially decent Portuguese news. So
yep. Yeah, yeah, good time.
Hopefully we get him over the line, and he kicks on as well with Estoril, comes to Wolves in the summer. But I think that's it, Dave, unless there's anything else.
No, I think that's all, mate. Got loads covered today.
Absolutely loads. Yeah, you've first one of the year. I enjoyed it. Hopefully I had the rest of the lads back with us on the next one. When will the next one be? Be next week, won't it? After the Brentford game.
Post Brentford, yeah. And hopefully some transfer news.
Hopefully. Where can people find you should they wish to follow you, mate?
At Dave as a Party on Twitter and Instagram. Wonderful. And Happy New Year, everyone.
M Cooper Writes and Matt Cooper Bites on all social media. We are Talking Wolves across all platforms. And if you have enjoyed this video, make sure you do let us know, whether that be through a like, a subscription, or if you're listening on Apple and Spotify, a 5-star review. And yeah, until next time, big Happy New Year from all of us at Talking Wolves. Hopefully it's a much more positive year for Wolves as a whole. And yeah, hopefully we end up in Europe at some point this year. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. And until next time, take it easy. Enjoy the last day off before back to work. And yeah, take it easy and take care.